Funding for WBUR comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
It consumed 10 years of his life with 600 interviews. Author Ben Bradley Jr.'s new biography on Red Sox legend Ted Williams. Bradley says he left no stone unturned in his quest to shed light on the life of a man considered by many to be baseball's greatest hitter. The book is also quite graphic in describing Williams' death and the decapitation that preceded the cryonic preservation of his body. A warning to parents, we talk about that in a few minutes. The book, titled The Kid, The Immortal Life of Ted Williams, is out today. We spoke to Ben Bradley Jr. about it and why he took on this project.
When Williams died, I was struck in his death how much interest there still was in his life. And I speed read the early biographies, a lot of which I had read myself. And they were written mostly by adoring sports writers who concentrated on his exploits on the field. And I found there was still a lot of room for his life off the field.
Pretty hard scrabble life growing up.
Very. His mother was a Salvation Army zealot out until all hours of the night, saving souls. The father was sort of a ne'er-do-well and a drunk, largely absent, so he wasn't a factor in Ted's life. He was ashamed of his upbringing.
Let me ask a little bit about his early life. He was half Mexican, and you point out in the book he was ashamed of it and for years tried to hide it. Explain.
I thought that was one of the most interesting parts of Williams' life. It's something that didn't come out until about a month before he died. He had his father's genes, and so he looked quite Anglo, and with the name Williams, no one ever assumed he was Mexican, but he was. His mother was born there. He was advised, apparently early on, that the prejudice of the day could hurt his baseball career, so he decided to keep this a tightly held secret. Didn't reveal it, and there was one fascinating story when he came home to San Diego after his star-studded first year with the Red Sox in 1939. He arrived at the train station and saw about 100 of the extended family, all Mexican, waiting for him to welcome the conquering hero. Took one look at them and beat it in the other direction.
Let's talk baseball for a few minutes. Over time, a lot of people have called Ted Williams the greatest hitter to ever live and a baseball genius. Why do you think he was an artistic genius behind the plate?
He studied pitchers. He was always amazed when he would ask a teammate, what did the guy throw? Was it a fastball, a curve, a knuckler? And often the fellow wouldn't know. He'd be dumbfounded.
He was a walking catalog of pitchers about what they threw to batters, especially in certain situations, so that he could figure out what they might throw to him.
Yeah, he guessed what they would throw to him. And he gathered information from all kinds of sources, including the umpires.
And that got the umpires into a little trouble at one point.
Yes, they did, yeah. It smacked of favoritism, obviously, if they were helping one guy on one team and not the others. You know, when he got on base, he would talk to the guy, the first base umpire, and where you been, who you seen, what is so-and-so throwing, how's he look? Finally, that rose to the attention of league officials, and they had to slap the umpire's back.
He was just information seeking.
Yeah, right.
I wonder what you think goes down as to Williams, what his most memorable one hit might have been. And you wrote about one of his at-bats in the 1941 All-Star game, and I'm wondering if you think that might be it.
Well, he always thought that. This was the three-run homer to win the 1941 All-Star game for the American League in Detroit. Very dramatic. He always said that was his biggest thrill in baseball.
We all know how, in the end, after he died, Ted Williams' head was taken off his body, and it was cryonically frozen, with his body frozen separately, the idea being that someday someone might figure out how to bring him back, I guess. You write about, as difficult as it is, you write about how much of a circus it was in the operating room after he died, and when his head was finally severed from his body with, of all things, a carving knife.
Yeah. Well, I'm not a doctor, and I don't know what the preferred tool is. The cryonicists believe that the most important thing to preserve is the head because it contains the brain, which contains the memory, and that presumably science will have advanced to the point where you can grow tissue and a body underneath your head, so better to preserve the head, so the theory goes.
Let me close by coming back to the big picture of Ted Williams. I want to ask how you think that long-term history will remember this guy. You write, he was someone whom fathers told their sons about generation after generation, and thus he served as glue in the social fabric. The lasting image remains one of radiant youth, Williams attaining 406, the perfect swing, the swagger, the heroic, the Bunyan-esque deeds, like hitting a home run in his last at-bat, the kid, once and forever. Is that how you will remember Ted Williams?
That's how I chose to end the book, for a whole younger generation who didn't know much about Ted Williams, the concern went. The cryonics affair would be the lasting impression and perhaps affect his legacy. But on balance, I think with the passage of time, that's not proven the case.
Ben Bradley Jr. is the author of The Kid, The Immortal Life of Ted Williams. The biography is out today.